KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's always good to talk to a man who lives his life without remorse. He's starring in the film Without Remorse on Amazon. It's Michael B. Jordan. Michael, always good to have you back.
Always, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Good. No, my pleasure. Because you have a line early on in this movie that could have been a line in like every other Michael B. Jordan movie the last few years, which is, we served a country that didn't love us back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a line in there. You want me to elaborate on that one?
If you would, yeah, because I think it's one of these things. We talked about the last few things you did when you were last here. You were here playing Bryan Stevenson, talking about that movie, and he could be saying the same thing. Oscar Grant could be saying the same thing. Eric Killmonger could be saying the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, when you take a character like John Kelly and, you know, and we change the lens of that through a black man, you know, there's things that inherently are looked at differently. You know, it's different tone. You know, there's the circumstances and perspective changes. So, like, you know, the feeling of that, you know, in these scenes have to be reflective, you know? So in that moment where Kelly is going through what he's gone through, no spoilers, I guess, on this, but, you know, after, you know, the tragedy kind of takes place in his life, you know, he feels betrayed. He feels like, you know, he gave everything and was fighting for something. And now he's on a mission, you know, and he needed to get some answers. So, you know, I think he's putting the power back in his hands at a moment. I felt like, you know, John feels like he's powerless, you know, and he's just a small, you know, he's just one person. Like what kind of change, what kind of effect can he has? And then, you know, something changes in him and he pushes towards that change. So, you know, there's a little bit of that I wanted to have Kelly go through. And I think it made sense.
It does make sense, but hearing a line like that from a person of color, I mean, it suddenly takes on a much, I think, more nuanced context, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, everything doesn't have to be so, you know, on the head and over-explained. You know, sometimes, you know, there's an approach to set the table and to, you know, let people eat, you know? And that's, you know, a line like that and a scene like that, you allow conversations like this to take place, you know, and things to spring off of that. I think that line meant a lot, you know, a lot of different things, you know, but it could easily be taken in that way. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, a character like John and kind of what he's going through. And then also, you know, somebody like myself who's, you know, producing and putting this movie together also.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, because the last time I saw you, you were talking about, I think you're just about to go off and do this. So what made you want to play a Tom Clancy character?
For me as a kid, man, I always, you know, playing Rainbow Six video games, man.
Six?
Yeah, man. Like, okay. Like, you know, this job's got to be fun, right? You know what I mean? When you get opportunities to bring things full circle, you know, all those hours I played, you know, my mom yelling at me, telling me to, you know, turn it off, get out of here, do something. And, you know, be able to come full circle and let all that daydreaming and all that imagining, you know, actually go to use and be able to do my own stunts. I love watching movies like this growing up. So to be able to, you know, take on, you know, all these action sequences and, you know, play this character, to give it a fresh take, modernize the story a little bit, make it a little bit more, you know, reflective of the world that we live in today, you know, it checked off a lot of the boxes for me.
The story's been modernized a lot, actually, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. And like this, you know, this script, well, the script that we were working from had a few differences from the novel. You know, I mean, it's never really a page by page, but when it comes to, you know, adapting it, there's a lot of things to consider, a lot of things to align in order to really to make that happen. So we changed a bunch. You know, we got, you know, Karen Greer, we made her a commander in this, played by Jodie Turner-Smith. And, you know, just to show that character, be able to be capable in the field, to show that camaraderie, you know, show, you know, she's a badass, you know, she's taking names in this one too. She's handing them out. And then also be able to be in her dress blues and be in an office full of generals and, you know, Secretary of Defenses and hold her own in those spaces as well. I thought that was really powerful to see on screen. So yeah, man, we made some liberties and took some changes.
No, it's funny because it's not only like much more sort of modern, but I mean the kind of old world politics of that book had kind of been thrown out too. It actually, in a lot of ways, feels more like Rainbow Six than Without Remorse, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it does. You know, and the feeling of that, you know, hopefully is where it's going. So yeah. We wanted to, you know, not make a history lesson, but at the same time, you know, history does repeat itself, you know, and there's some things in there that feel very today. And we wanted to tell a story about that through the eyes of John Kelly.
It's a treatment. My guest, who's justified the price of his PlayStation 3 by making this new movie, is Michael B. Jordan. He's starring in the film Without Remorse. And you do so many water stunts in this movie. I thought you were auditioning to play the Submariner, man. You are underwater a lot in this movie.
Yes, I am. And some days, you know, you get the work and you're like, wait, we wrote that? Did we? Is that what we got to do? Who put that in here? But no, it's a lot of fun. It's exhausting, but it's really cool, man. Being able to, you know, work on deep sea diving techniques and becoming very comfortable underwater in high intensity, stressful situations, work through equipment and weapon malfunctions underwater. Yeah, man. And you know, we took us about, you know, 2 weeks to shoot those sequences. So it was definitely a lot of work, but it was satisfying at the end of it.
No, because one of the things I thought was really interesting about the movie is watching the way when he's in the water, he's always looking for where an air source might be. So you're training, actually, you believe that he's trained in doing this. And that's, I'm sure that's something you want to get across, his comfort in this situation, right?
Exactly. You know, you're constantly assessing, you know, taking in new information and problem solving, you know, and he's trying to figure it out. And at the same time, I never quit. Attitude, and then you combine that with the fear factor of dying is out the window. So because he really doesn't have anything to lose at this point, and that's a dangerous guy, you know. And that's kind of the space that John Kelly's operating from, especially during those moments. He's willing to push everything to the extreme.
For me, it's sort of like two different movies: the John Kelly in action, and then the John Kelly when he's sort of wrestling with his thoughts. And I keep going back to this title, but it feels almost ironic because here's a guy who's got a lot of regrets about, and I don't want to get too much into this and offer up any spoilers either, but the title really feels almost like it's making fun of it a little bit because he's suffering a lot.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is. I think he's not remorseful of the things that he has to do in order to find that closure within himself. You know, I think he's looking for that. Man, I'm not sure he really exactly finds all of it because I don't think there's anything that can make right what happened. But I think there's a lot of reflection in John. There's a lot of regret. And he's sad, man. He's hurt. So it's him trying to figure out how to ease the pain and how to push through. And he's doing that the only way he know how.
Yeah, because some, especially in the last few movies you've done, there's been this interesting sort of division between the way these guys live their lives physically versus the way they are emotionally. I just keep thinking that, without giving too much away again, there's a couple of dream sequences here where there's calm, but still that's where we really kind of see an attempt to sort of to find peace. And at some point, in a lot of these guys you played in the last few years, and I think we've even talked about this here, we can sort of see them struggling with whether they should just sort of, you know, give in to what's happened or move on with their lives.
You know, it's a fine balance. I think he didn't, we find him in a place that he didn't know exactly what he was going to do until he got a little kernel of a, you know, a piece of anything that he can kind of start to figure out how far that can go. You know, I don't think he didn't have a plan until he had a plan. And I think, you know, some people in tragic situations, I think, you know, we all have options and choices to make. You know, when is the right time to move on? When is the right time to, you know, to go do something? When is the time to, you know, to, you know, how much time is it? Do you need to grieve and be sad and push through? So, you know, if you look hard enough, you can find a little bit of all those, you know, within John in this movie.
Because I just wonder, part of this too is you, if this is something that's a conscious thing, if you're looking for these guys who kind of have this divide between what they do when they're in this kind of sort of intersection of being really professional and also really enjoying what they do, and then trying to figure out where their personal lives sort of split off from their professional lives.
Yeah, I think there's a torn balance between the two. You know, getting a chance to talk to a lot of military vets and understanding kind of their mind state around things and things that they've gone through or thought through of, like, why do they keep going back? You know, why do they keep going on, you know, more tours? You know, things that they've seen, you know, the things that they've done, things that they've seen done to others, the brotherhood and the bond, the people that they've lost that are close to them. You know, all those things, you know, that's something that they don't forget, you know, and then figuring out how to, you know, do something else, I think is really tough also, you know. That transition is not an easy one, you know, it's a very challenging one. You know, so that balance between, you know, both those lives were something that, you know, John Kelly was definitely dealing with also, you know, especially when your work comes home, literally. What does that look and feel like? And we had an opportunity to explore a little bit of that. So, yeah, man, we really wanted to, you know, give it, you know, some layers in the sense of, you know, of what this guy might have experienced at this point in his life.
Yeah, because he even says at one point, you know, he talks or he questions having signed up for another tour and what that would have done. And I was just sort of thinking about the way you played that line. I mean, there's no big emotion. He's almost kind of matter of fact about it. You think it's because he's, given what he's going through at that moment, he's had to turn that part of his life off and just kind of be matter of fact about it?
Yeah, I think it's guilty, you know, and I think it's the comfortability of knowing, you know, knowing Greer. You know, they've known each other. Greer knew my wife, you know. She knows what I'm going through right now. And I think there is a little bit of when you start to blame yourself, if I would have done something differently, you know, the outcome would have changed or would have changed for the better. And I think that line is more or less a, you know, I'm done crying about it right now. You know, I'm done. I'm not complaining. You know, me and my boys say, like, you know, when you complain is when you expect something to change. He was more venting. He was venting. He was just talking about it because he already had his mind made up of what was going to happen, you know, what he was going to do. So, yeah, that was him just venting a little bit.
Letting off steam with my guest, Michael B. Jordan, whose new film he's starring in and produced is the adaptation of Without Remorse. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes. Join Jacqueline Coley as she hosts a brand new podcast, Scene on the Screen. Meet the innovative people at NBC Universal as they share their journeys, inspirations, and the movies that define them. Each episode is an intimate and fun conversation about the impact of film. Scene on the Screen is available now wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Welcome back to The Treatment. My guest is Michael B. Jordan. His new film as actor and producer and game player is Without Remorse for Amazon. I have to ask you, what did you like about John Kelly? You're talking about so many things about him. What did you like about this character?
I liked the fact that he was extremely loyal and dedicated, you know? Like, once he's made his mind up and put his mind to something, there was no stopping him. And, you know, I liked the fact that he was challenging systems, you know? It's like, sometimes we feel like us as a singular person, you know, we can't make a difference, and we can't impact, you know, a larger system or a larger thing. And I like the fact that Kelly used to feel like that, and then he, you know, he said, "Nah, you know what? I can." And he went out there and did it his way, an extreme way, but he went after it, and I enjoyed that. You know, I thought that was interesting character to play.
Because I was thinking, you know, looking back, you know, thinking about Killmonger or, you know, Adonis, those kind of guys who take pleasure out of being physical, and because it's, you know, it really is for them kind of making a stand and showing the world who they are. You're playing somebody who's part of a team here, and I was wondering if that was the thing that kind of attracted you to you too, because that's not something you got to do a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he begrudgingly, you know, is in that team. You know, I think that's something that he wasn't really looking forward to do because he didn't want the responsibility or that, you know, he didn't want to be the cause of the death of anybody else around him. So I think that that lone wolf, that one-man army is something that was challenged. And he, you know, I think, like I said, this is the origin story. I think we just really got a chance to see a glimmer of what he will become. You know, I think, you know, in this film, mm-hmm. for him, you know, just that one-man army was something that was interesting. I just enjoyed that. Like I said, having a lot of military friends, hearing their stories and just kind of wanting to portray a little bit of that and tell that story was exciting for me. And then when you get a chance to do it in a Tom Clancy universe, you know, with a character like John Kelly, it has the bones of a franchise. You know, I wanted to also do, you know, I want to start a franchise, you know? So this is the beginning of that business as well.
Yeah, well, you work with a pretty capable director. You got Stefano Salima on this one.
Yes. Who knows? He knows something about, you know, franchises. So to be able to tag him into this one was exciting. Kept it as grounded and action-packed, you know, as we could. And yeah, man, Stefano's great, man. He's a great guy, good taste. And yeah, we were running and gunning.
Well, it feels like that, because at a certain point, especially, again, some of the underwater stuff, it almost feels like Kelly is so good at what he does, he can be doing this with his eyes closed. And I don't want to give anything away, because these set pieces almost feel like musical numbers in the movie. They're so big and epic. But he's just so accomplished. You need a director who can make us feel as confident as that character was. And I'm guessing you probably were a fan of Day of the Soldado.
Yeah, I mean, the way he captured that film, you know, and wanting, you know, like, you know, as actors to do all their stunts, you know, how we wanted to shoot it, you know, we really wanted to catch everything in frame. And that was exciting to me. You know, that was exciting that he encouraged that and was looking forward to it. So we made sure that, you know, we were able to tap into that and do that. So, yeah, man, Stefano's great, man. He looked right there in the pocket with you, you know, getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, because in that movie, in Day of the Soldado, we're really aware of, like, the way the actors handle themselves. I wonder, too, a part of this for you is you, like, do you think about the role of these characters first physically when you get them? Because so many of these people are really physical in their lives. And I just wonder if that part of them is something you think about first, or what attracts you? You were talking about some of the other bigger things about, you know, wanting to deal with some military stuff in this movie. But getting to the, you know, sort of the kernel of the character, do you like figuring out who these guys are, the way they move, the way they think about the action? Is that something that really impacts you in deciding who to play and how to play them? Or even down to Brian Stevenson not sort of knowing how to move? I'm just thinking about when he's being stripped down in that prison sequence at the beginning of that movie.
I mean, yeah, you know, like that's the luxury that I have and I'm really excited about, that I love so much about what I'm able to do, is like, depending on where I'm at as a man, as a person, as a human, you know, what do I feel like, you know? And feeling like, you know, telling that Bryan Stevenson story and being able to be vulnerable in those ways and being able to, you know, show strength almost by trying to be humiliated, you know what I'm saying, as well in that scene that you're referencing to, but trying to keep it together and putting his armor back on and self-sacrifice to be able to go represent these guys. But, you know, also being able to be the physical manifestation of that frustration. You know what I mean? And be out there to actually be hands-on and be that one-man army and show a different side of that, you know, which taps into the gamer side of me, that taps into the fun side, the adrenaline side, you know, that taps into, the action-packed, the entertaining side of things. I want my career, when it's all said and done, I guess, when it comes to the body of work, you know, it's eclectic, you know? He did, you know, work that made people think and feel and laugh, you know, and cry. And you know, do it while you can, you know? There's going to be a time when you can't. So I'm having fun.
No, I'm not here to argue with you.
But it's just funny. It's just fun. You know what I mean? It's like doing how often do you know you see you know a guy like myself be able to like you know do a film like this, and what does that look like?
What do you mean a guy like yourself? You mean like an actor? What do you mean? Wait. What do you mean a guy like yourself? Come on now. I'm not gonna let you get away with that. What do you mean a guy like yourself?
I'm talking about a black man, a black actor. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about being able to do a movie like this, like you know, action, trying to be an action, you know what I'm saying? Action star, action hero, whatever the people want to label it as, you know, these days. You know, I wanna see, you know, as a kid, there wasn't a lot for me to look towards, you know? So to be able to do a movie like this, when I see you know, younger kids or my partners, nephews and nieces, and you know, asking about the movie, and you know, and excited about the trailer and stuff like that. You know, and the, you know, they, you know, they, oh, I want to do something like that. You know, that's a cool feeling, man. And hopefully, that inspires them to think about something that, you know, they never thought might have been possible. And if I, you know, and if I can do work like that, that's inspiring. That's like that makes it worth it.
No, because I feel like what you've been doing is you've been really a game changer in this. So we sort of, if we look at Adonis and then John Kelly, I mean, just these characters in these kinds of movies surrounded by other black people is a revolutionary thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, part of it is like, you don't think about it as much. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's in hindsight, you know, I think you try to make honest, real decisions in the moment, you know? And if your heart and your mind's in the right place, then things turn out this way. So it's like, sometimes the after the fact dissection leaves room for like, when you look like this that way, were you really trying to say that? Cause you know, in that flat, you know, in that direction was a painting, and the painting was, a coin, and the coin was like, is that what you're looking towards, money? No, but I guess when you look at it like that, maybe it says that, you know? So there's sometimes, you know, like in being, you know, sometimes there's like such an organic nature to things that, it's just kind of like, you know, what we were doing in the moment. But then there's sometimes things that mean a little bit more.
No, because I guess what I'm saying is, you know, if we're looking at the Creed movies and then Black Panther and now this, you know, again, seeing you, as you were saying, you know, with Jodie Turner-Smith playing Karen Greer, or that early scene at your house with Coleman Domingo and Lauren London. I mean, just... So often, I know for you growing up when you did, a lot of times the black characters kind of lived in these worlds by themselves. They would come in and solve a problem and leave.
It's like this. Like, there's things that are, like, intentional, right? You know, like the inclusion rider with Outlier Society. That's a straightforward, intentional thing that allows me to hold, you know, partnerships, you know, collaborative situations and relationships responsible, you know what I mean, for the workplace and giving opportunities, you know, and wanting to do business with my production company, that's what comes with us. That's what comes with me, right? So that's there. Then there's creative choices, you know what I'm saying, that has some of those ramifications also, you know, but every creative choice within that sometimes doesn't exactly equal to that specific intent. You know, sometimes it's just a creative choice because they're phenomenal actors and they're great at what they do. But then there's other ones that are very, very specific, you know? So it's just like it's a mixture between, you know, long ball and also, you know, circumstances and art. They're not all the same. Sometimes they could be blanketed as that, you know, when you do represent. So, you know, like, you know, when it comes to Karen Greer, you know, the pastor, you know, Cole Domingo, and Without Remorse, You know what I'm saying? Like we're making choices, you know, because it's, you know, A, is culturally relevant. You know what I mean? Like, you know, all my pastors in my life growing up, you know, we're Black, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it had to be. But, you know, but then also we have opportunity to make some creative liberties and what that representation looks like for, you know, a first Black female commander, you know what I'm saying? In the Navy as well, in Navy SEALs. So it's like it's a balance, you know? And also at the end of the day, just want to make a great movie too. So there's moments, you know, of that. Creed is, you know, another franchise. It's like hoping, doing the work, doing the groundwork now, that's in the future, things doesn't have to always be a line in the sand sometimes. You know, it doesn't always have to be like, this is that, and this is that. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's that. Like, not like just trying to do the work. I want to make a dope movie. I want to make a great movie. You know what I'm saying? With great people and great actors. You know, and I want people to enjoy it. You know, and then, but I can't be ignorant to the fact that there's a lot of work to be done in order to get to that type of, like, you know, as a matter of fact, that normalcy, you know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, you want the best of both worlds, obviously. And it's a conversation we've had before where, you know, you try to put yourself in a situation where you can do your best work. It's funny when you were talking about playing Rainbow Six, because you can put yourself in that game and not think about representation the way you do when you're watching a movie. And so it's kind of, you know, it's these two different things, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's the journey, man. It's the world we live in. It's the position that we are in, that we live in. So trying to navigate that professionally and personally is, you know, it could be a tricky one sometimes, but it's also really fun, you know. And it's just looking at the footsteps that I'm following, you know, standing on the shoulders of so many before me, you know, to put me in a position to be where I'm at. You know, there is a pioneering, you know, trailblazing type of like spirit that kind of embodies some of these decisions and movements. And it's also like, you know, there's a individuality and a uniqueness to me that I also want to be able to live and enjoy as well. So it's a, man, yo, it's awesome when, you know, things start to line up and you feel like your purpose and, you know, and your power and your position all kind of lined up. And I'm just kind of like in that, figuring it out too. You know what I mean? I'm day by day trying to figure it out, man. Sometimes it's a lot, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's a blessing, man. It's a blessing all in all, you know, but when you try to feel like you could really make an impact and change things, like when you know better, you got to do better, you know, and I know better, so I'm trying to do better.
Let me thank our friend Michael B. Jordan, whose new film Tom Clancy's Without Remorse can be seen on Amazon. Thanks to our production team, Paul Smith, Desmond Taylor, and Kat Yore. The show is edited by producer Rebecca Mooney. And let me thank you for listening. 25 years ago, I started The Treatment, and I'm still here because of your support. We're counting down now to the end of KCRW's spring fundraiser. For the last year, I've ended the show by saying, to better days. And in times such as these, to ensure those better days, your financial support is more important than ever. So please show it by going to kcrw.com/give. To better days, and at least another year. I appreciate you. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.